Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum issue 135, the last episode of the year. And of course, Kane is back, coming back with a very, very sexy diner waitress voice. I'm digging it.
That's very nice.
Can you tell me I need an Adam and Eve on white real fast?
Hey, Flo, get in the back. Get some carrots and milkshake for this guy right here.
So we missed you last week. I had to do a quick solo one for last week.
Just little stuff was going on in my head. Sometimes I get psyched at my own stuff, and you know, it's one of those things. I think it's like finances, they all take control and they converge, and like I was going nuts. And
that's why we're here. We can do this. We don't have to.
Next time I won't take the week off. I'll just be like, hey, you know what? They just sent me this bill and I don't know what to do with it. And I should have just done that. This could be my therapy session. You know,
that's what it is. Yeah, that's why when you come on here.
You basically are like my psychiatrist, which is true.
So we are back for the final episode of the year. Now, I did say that we were going to do a best of, but there was so much that came out last week that we're going to push the best of to next week. So basically, we're going to do like a rundown of like what Kane thinks is his favorite movie to show. A lot of stuff we've already talked about, but we're going to like compile it into one big long list. So that way you guys can see, you know, kind of get an idea of what we look for. And we still have another week. And there's a lot still kind of to drop.
So you're telling me this list that I have here, which is already long, is going to grow.
Well, you got to realize we still have Boba, the Book of Boba dropping. And we also have Kingsman, I think, comes out. Or Joe, it's already out, already. But I haven't gotten a chance to go see it yet.
Not neither have I. Heard some things about it. But so, this list is going to grow when we get to next week. So I got to find a way to cap it down.
Yeah, that's why I was looking at my list too. I was like, I gotta like wrangle this down. So maybe let's talk about all the things that like we had a bunch of season finales of shows. We had some movies that you and I have sort of talked about on our Facebook page. So if you guys want to check out some of what we have been like kind of bantering back and forth with each other about. But there have been movies that you and I just haven't had a chance to talk about. You know, I know
no.
Like because again, like you said, you were out last week, so.
And I think full disclosure, I think do you think we could do spoilers? I think it's been out for a little bit. We could do spoilers. Okay. So anyway, guys,
I think both of them we can kind of do some spoilers on, because I mean, it's not so much like I don't think the what's the word I'm looking for? What they call it, where you can't really talk about it. There's so many freaking things out there, but we're going to announce it right now, guys. There are spoilers from here on out. So if you have not seen The Matrix, have not seen Spider-Man, have not finished watching Hawkeye, The Witcher, I'm probably going to bring up The Wheel of Time as well. If you guys haven't finished those series yet or watched those movies, probably pause us, come back once you have watched those. But we're going to kind of delve into all of those, talk about them. Our theories, what we liked, what we didn't like. I think what we'll start with, actually, probably the oldest one that we can kind of get away with, because, I mean, it's just been memes all over the place with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I got a chance to see it. I think I talked about it. I reviewed it last week. I didn't talk too much about it, but I went to...
No, you basically, all you said was, like, great film.
Yeah.
You weren't being very vague about
it.
Yeah,
I was trying my best. I was like, irk. I loved it. So since you didn't get a chance to spout off about it, what'd you think, man?
Well, now that I can actually open my mouth and say what I truly feel about it, I freaking love this movie. I love it. I think, you know, people are calling it the best Spider-Man movie ever. Live action, yes. Live action, yes. I still think Into the Spider-Verse is better by a hair, but not by much. This is one of those movies that they said it's going to be the end game of all Spider-Man movies. And guess what? He was right. It was the end game of all Spider-Man movies. And the way they did it, bringing the people in that they brought in, it wasn't just like a cash cow. Like, hey, how you doing? And gone. Kind of like what Crisis on Infinite Earths was on CW. There was like all these cameos, but they didn't win too much to the story. When they brought Toby and Andrew in here, they were part of the story. They were like in the movie for more than I thought. They were like maybe 30 minutes. Like, I think they came away in the midway point, and then you saw them all the way to the finale. So they weren't just like, you know, hey, how you doing? I'm gone. No, they were part of the story, which I kind of dug. All the villains kind of fit. And retroactively, I think what this film did, which I didn't notice until the end, they kind of like almost toward the origin story of the MCU Spider-Man, but backwards.
Yeah.
Just kind of interesting. I'm like, oh, okay, so we're going to go there. Like at the ending, I was cheering like, oh, you know, all the Spider-Man, you know, sweaties out there who've been wanting, oh, well, he's basically Iron Man Jr. No, they did away with all that. Yeah. And basically they retrofitted the whole thing to the beginning where he's in the apartment alone by himself. He's building his own suits and he's all alone. He's broke, alone, jobless, no friends, nobody. And that's the Spider-Man that I don't know about you, but that I read in comics in years past. He was always the loner. He was always the guy struggling to make ends meet. And now you basically had just background that to a new beginning in that new trilogy that whenever they're going to do it, I mean, depending what they do, that's you basically have the Spider-Man that, you know, you guys have been clamoring about. You got him now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it was technically treated as like the end of the franchise for Spider-Man, you know, when you look at it. I think there's a meme out there that said it best was when you look at these, there is a good trilogy out there. There's Andrew's first one, Toby's second one, and then this one as a perfect trilogy when you watch them back to back to back. That you just have these moments because that's the order you should watch them in, really, when you're watching them. You should watch, you know, one, you know, Andrew's one, Toby's two, and then Holland's three, because it kind of puts them all together. And I'm hoping they're going to continue. I know there's still talk that he said, you know, he'd like to move on, but at the same time, there's also been more talk that he's not done with it yet.
But I mean, come on, the movie made $260 million opening weekend. It's over a billion right now. I think if they go to Toby's house, you know, they do a dump truck of money, like, hey, come back.
I think you posted that earlier today. You made a comment about, you know, you'd like to see all of them. The only one I want to see, because I think Toby's had his time. No offense to Toby. His Spider-Man was great. It was the first one. I think his story has been told. And he's sort of being in this movie explained what's going on with his life. That, yeah, he and MJ are still there together, and that's it. I think Andrew deserves that final piece, the final piece to his trilogy. I think that's what is required, and I can tell you from the crowd I was with, they were bigger Andrew fans than Toby. Like, Toby got like a, ooh, yeah.
But he got a big pop, but Andrew got the biggest
pop. Yeah, Andrew got the biggest pop. I mean, I don't know if maybe the fact that he was the first one that showed up, but it was still one of those. And I just think that he deserves that chance because I think the most emotional points to this movie happened around Andrew.
Agreed.
Than anything else, you know, that he swooped down and save Zendaya, you know, MJ. It was his moment. Man. You know?
The moment in the theater, when I was watching that, I was kind of like, you know, just kind of peeking around, see what everybody's going to, you know, look at their expressions when that happened. And they were like, oh, and like you see in his face, he didn't say anything, but he's like sort of like welling up a little bit and he just smiles because he saved her. I was like, oh, dude.
There was that moment in his brain, you know, he went, I could have done it. I could have saved her. But, you know, I had to make that final decision that every Spider-Man has to make, you know.
Every Spider-Man, you know, whatever lore and comics, their life is always tragic. Something tragic always happens to them, whether it's Uncle Ben, Aunt May, Gwen Stacy, it is always something.
Yeah. And now this Spider-Man finally got his, so to speak, has got his wings for that tragedy. We thought it was Tony because, you know, that was something you and I talked about at the end game. I always, when Endgame came out, I was like, finally, the Spider-Man has his Uncle Ben moment. But now, in a different way and amazing, like heart-tugging, like heartbreaking moment, you know?
Oh, it was gut-wrenching because the way the scene was done. You thought, because she got up, like, oh, nothing really happened. I'm like, well, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, didn't the glider just, like, ram into her?
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
I was like, she's just walking on like she's fine, and then she stumbles, and she falls back down. Then you find out, oh, yeah, the glider did get her. And that whole scene where it's like, oh, okay, finally, you know, this Spider-Man has his Uncle Ben moment, which is Aunt May. And then we find out, I mean, I don't know what you think about it. There is no Uncle Ben in this MCU.
There is. He's mentioned it several times. He's mentioned Uncle Ben. In fact, he mentioned it in Infinity Wars. Remember when Tony and Doctor Strange got in onto the ship and they took down, I think it was Infinite, whatever his name is.
Oh, that's.
Yeah, and he made a comment. He goes, oh, that you remember that old Star Wars movie? I thought he made the comment that might me and my uncle
used to watch.
Was it Alien? Okay, yeah, it was Alien. Yeah, no, there's another time he makes mention of Star Wars, I think.
That's in Civil War.
Yeah, but there are moments where he makes a comment that I thought he made the comment that me and my uncle got me to watch this movie. I think
I might be right. I have to watch it again, but yeah. I don't remember him ever mentioning his uncle.
Oh, it was just in that it was just in that one moment. Maybe I'm putting something into my head that's not there, but
I'll rewatch and check it out, but I just don't remember him mentioning his uncle at all. Even like in Civil War, when he came down, he never mentioned, he just mentioned like bad things happened. He never mentioned Uncle Ben, and there's like no, like you, even in his apartment, you don't see anything of Uncle Ben there. So I'm just wondering.
Well, again, because he wasn't at that moment. Like Uncle Ben wasn't that pivotal moment to him like it was for every other Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know, it was, this time it was, you know, his Aunt May that was the pivotal moment. And now Aunt May will be his ghost, his conscience from here on out.
Yeah,
you know, and that's, yeah, so that's awesome. I love the fact we finally got to see that crossover that we've been dying to see. We actually got to see Daredevil on there. You know, yep. We got to see Charlie Cox, which I loved. I didn't even, like, I saw the cane come down and didn't even register Kane. I honestly, when I saw the cane come down, my first thought was Kingpin. I was like, oh, are they going to actually, like, do a full crossover and finally have, like, a real crossover from, you know, the Disney streaming to the movies? And then when I saw Charlie, I was like, oh, that's awesome. And the crowd went.
Yeah.
Now, it was funny is half the crowd went nuts. The other half, they're not like, a peep. They're like, it's like, oh, so you guys watched the Netflix show. You did not. Okay, you, I know.
It was cool to see him there. And I, you know, it was just a cameo, basically. And I think that's to let the MCU fans know, hey, that's Daredevil going forward. DC, like, he's going to be like, this is just, you know, we'll give you a little bit of seasoning. But from what I've read, some other things, he's gonna be heavily involved going forward.
Yeah, something's gonna tie into another show we're gonna talk about here in a little bit. But yeah, no, I love that. I love that scene. And I love some of like the throwbacks. You have to like know your Spider-Man. There's a moment where they're all just chilling out. I think the scene went a little too long, but where it's all three Spider-Men hanging out on the Statue of Liberty and they're chit-chatting.
Oh,
I was like, I love the scene, but I think the scene just went a little too long. It got a little dry, like they're bantering back and forth. Like it was fun, like the first minute, and then I was like, okay, we can move on now. Let's move on.
You talking about when they did the organic? What? How did
they come? No. That was in the school when they were doing that. No. This is when they're like prepping. They're just waiting for the villains to show up, and they're all just chilling out in their spider suits.
Which I thought was so cool. They're just like waiting.
They're just waiting. But it was just like this banter back and forth. No, man, you're amazing. Like I thought that was fun. Oh no, you're amazing. And I was like, okay, Amazing Spider-Man, got it. That's funny. But no, it was the after Tom left. It was just Toby and Andrew. And Toby's making comments about his back. Yeah, I got back's problem. And that's a reference to number two when he lost his grip and he fell and he hit the car and he got up and goes, oh, my back. That was a direct tie-in to that moment. I was like, oh, mm-hmm. That's okay. They're like tying these loose ends together. And
he cracks his back for him.
Yeah.
Andrew was so good in this film. I can tell why people want him to get that third film. And hopefully he does get it, because I think out of all the look, I mentioned that I would like to see a Toby 4. I mean, that's probably not going to happen, but I think more likely we will get the Andrew third. It's
I would somewhere love, out there. Yeah, I would love to see Andrew be the Spider-Man for Venom.
Me too.
That's where I want, because then he deserves his Venom moment, so to speak. And now
he does, because if you think about it, there's a conversation when he's coming through the, I think when he's talking to Peter and on the Statue of Liberty, or not the Statue of Liberty, we're at the school, and they're sitting there, and he's like, hey, man, yeah, there was a point where I was pulling my punches, and there came a moment where I stopped pulling my punches. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, dude, that is, like, you could just put the symbiote right in there. He's already full of rage, and it fits in perfectly. Even with Tom right now, you could do that. I mean, I hope they don't. But, you know, we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get to that moment. And the only thing I can say that I was not happy with, and this has nothing to do with the movie itself, that Venom and Eddie were in that world for just two pre or post credit scenes. I was like, that's a horrible. I mean, I get why he was there so he could leave, you know, the little bit of Venom, and then that's going to, you know, lead on to something else. But I thought that was just such a waste of time. Like, it's just a full tease. I'm like, you bastards.
Like, you're going to tease it and then you're going to take it away. Like, come on, man. Like I said, I get it with the goo. It's out there. I guess it's going to make its way from Mexico to New York somehow, but still. I was looking forward to seeing, you know, Tom Hardy in there, but I guess not.
But yeah, no, overall, I loved it. I thought it was great. It was, I can't say it's the best MCU movie out there. I know a lot of folks are saying that, but no, there's others that I think, you know, will.
No, I think it's the best MCU Spider-Man movie.
It's best Spider-Man movie for the MCU, yes. And I think it was the most MCU feeling Spider-Man movie. You know, as far as like how it really felt like an MCU, like I said before, I think we never got Spider-Man to like swinging around the city and doing Spider-Man things in New York. We finally got that. We got all of those moments. Mm-hmm. you know, the introduction, we didn't get a full Sinister Six, but we got pretty damn close if you include Tree.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to include Tree, and I think we got our Sinister Six. You know, having everybody back was amazing. You know, that was the one thing I loved, that, you know, we still in this day and age can still be surprised for when we saw Green Goblin. You know, never thought it was going to be him, you know.
No, never in a million years. And he kept what I loved is when they brought him in, he had that goofy freaking mask on. But then like 2 seconds later, Smash. He breaks it.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, that's basically saying I don't need this stupid mask to be intimidating. And he didn't. Look at his facial expressions throughout this entire film.
Did you see that thing I posted on Facebook about the test footage they did for like a mechanical?
Why didn't they use that
was beautiful.
One?
I was like, what happened there?
Because they got afraid. They got afraid. Like, oh, well, the audience wouldn't understand this. You know, we need to stop that thinking going forward.
Yeah.
The audience would understand, because the audience are not stupid.
No.
All right. Let's just stop protecting us. Just do it. This
is the one time I think that we can say, and I think I've seen a few posts out there like this, that this is the first time that literally the movie companies need to stop second guessing themselves and do what the fans want. This is what the fans wanted.
Give the fans what they want. Yeah. Don't noodle around it. Like, play around it. Like, we're going to give you something close. Don't give us something close. Just give us what we want. It shows throughout this entire year in the box office, any kind of films, if you give us what we want, guess what? They're going to go see it. Because word of mouth is a powerful thing.
Yeah.
Like, when I saw Ghostbusters Afterlife, I just screamed from the heavens when that film. I go, it's good. Trust me. Go watch it. And the people watch it. Oh, it's great. Same thing with this one. Give us what we want. And we will see it.
The only other thing I think I mentioned it last week, and I kept calling him Wu. I'm sorry, guys. Like, it's Wong. I kept calling him Wu for some reason. It's like, when I listened back, I'm like, what the fuck am I calling him Wu for? But yeah, no, Wong, I love the fact that he is now the Sorcerer Supreme. I would have loved to have seen Shang-Chi come through. Remember how it would have been kind of cool seeing them kind of like walking in the back. He's like, hey, come with me, guys, real fast.
I thought that for a minute, I thought that was Shang-Chi helping out with the
cleaning
snow.
Up. Yeah, so did I at first. Know?
I was like, is that him? And they were like, no, it's not him.
That would have been funny that's the reason he grabbed him, was to help clean up the snow.
Get out of the freaking Sanctum Sanctorum. I was like, oh, come on, really? He got the 10 rings, he's got to clean up this place? That's wrong, Wong. Or woo. Woo.
Yeah, woo. I know. Like I said, I was like, when I listened back, I'm like, what the fuck am I talking about? God damn it. So, but is there like, was there a moment, a scene, anything like that, like just like gotcha on this one?
Oh man, there's so many, but I think the one off the top of my head is like after the battle had stopped at Statue of Liberty, and you see Dr. Octopus and he sees his Peter Parker, and they have that moment, that little exchange, and you hear like the Raimi, you hear the Raimi theme in the background, very slight. And he's like, Peter, he's like, Dr. Octavius. He's like, you look good. He's like a little older. He's like, what about you? He's like, I'm trying to do better. I'm like, that's the line from Spider-Man 2. Like, shit, they found a way to bring all that stuff in. I'm like, that's freaking cool.
Yeah, that's
like,
that's
because they had their moment, because, you know, and the way the whole synopsis of the film was, they're trying to revert these bad guys back to who they were, because they weren't really bad guys. It just stuff happened to them. They were chemically influenced or whatever. And then, you know, he wanted to turn him back. So, and by the way, the scariest portrayal of the Green Goblin, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like Spider-Man 1, he was good, but I think having that stupid mask on just took away. This is what I want. I'm like, he had the hood on. He was intimidating. I'm like, oh, God. I mean, I don't think they'll bring the Green Goblin back in the MCU, because you got the peak performance from Defoe. Right, so I don't think they're ever.
Yeah. Again, I think this gave all of those actors their ability to do a fond farewell. You know, hey, we came back. We came back for one show. You know, they got the band back together, and did them all. But yeah, I still, out of everybody, I think it's Andrew that deserves that chance to like put the period on his Spider-Man career. Give him all a trilogy and make everybody, I think everybody happy.
Make everybody happy. Yeah.
You know, and I would love to see him be the one to introduce a Miles.
Not Tom?
No, I think Tom's too young.
Okay.
If it's not Andrew, it should be. If they're going to come back with a Toby movie, Toby should be the one to introduce him, because as being older.
That'll be. See, oof,
yeah,
that'll
if they're going to do that, if they're going to bring back a Toby.
I didn't even think of that. I was thinking like, well, he's going to get intro to Tom's universe, but if it's in Toby's?
Yeah.
That would make more sense.
Well, go back to like Into the Spider-Verse. It was the old, grizzled, worn out, divorced
That's
Spider-Man that entered, you know, like kind of trained
Peter B.
him.
Parker.
Yeah. You know, so it would be kind of fun to see that. But yeah, if I think Andrew needs to come back and have his moment with, you know, Venom, and then, you know, maybe do the nod. And at this point, they have established from here on out, they don't even need to do the Multiverse of Madness. I want them to. I'm saying they literally don't. With this one movie, they have established that there are multiverses out there, and they can literally just go, hey, zip into like the little multiverse like strip that was across the sky and go, hey, we're going to this world universe now, and this is where these things exist, and then these things exist, and then they can go in and do Secret Wars or, you know, or something, and then merge those worlds together. Say, hey, you know, the Gamekeeper is like is bringing people in, you know, from all over the place, from different, you know, multiverses. And then that's when they, you know, have that massive, you know, mashup that we all are talking about wanting.
I hope so.
You know, of course, a decade down the road.
Yeah, that's going to be a while before they do that. That's a big buildup. We talked about Infinity War. That's an even bigger
deal. Yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, they're trying to do these itty bitty ones, and I think that one would be perfect because you can do these itty bitty stories, or, you know, introduce the Fantastic Four, introduce the X-Men, introduce these, and then throw them all, mash them into one world, you know, and go from there.
I think I made a post, and I think we had a little disagreement like we always do. I was like, what do you think is going to be the next big MCU film? And you said Fantastic Four. I'm like, I don't know. But then again, the guy, John Watts, he did these Spider-Man movies. He's doing them, so.
Yeah. I'm not the Fantastic Four fan. Like, even you call that out. You're like, well, you listen to you, Mister. And I was like, no, but I'm not a fan. But I think Fantastic Four left bad enough taste in people's mouths that they need to get that wash out quickly with a newer one. Mm-hmm. I think the X-Men, granted, the last movie wasn't what everybody wanted. I think the fan base for that group still is so like loyal. It's going to be a hard pill to swallow for that group just yet. I think another 5-6 years, yes, but I think Fantastic Four should be first. Then you throw in the scientific side of it, where he maybe Reed does, you know, part of this his experiments is crossing over, and he causes a rift into the multiverse, or, you know, something along those lines. Yeah, that could be explained a lot easier than explaining these mutants all suddenly being there.
Well, you're going to have Wanda, too, in the Multiverse of Madness. So you never know. Is she going to be the good person, bad person? Is she going to open
it? Yeah, we saw that trailer, the post-credit scene for Spider-Man. Yeah, that was the trailer for it. And, yeah, it's kind of iffy. You can't really tell.
You don't know. Like, it's just, I mean, you do see the what if Doctor Strange, which I think that's him.
I mean, yes. I don't know. Yeah, no, that is. No, that is completely him. If it's not, that's a complete, like, you know, mess up. But no, that looks just like him, acts just like him, other than having the full popped collar.
That's what I was waiting for. Yeah. He looked a little more subdued, but he looked
If I remember, it's been a while. I only watched it when it first came out, but I thought by the end, when he got kind of worn down and like was finally coming to terms with what he was doing, I thought the collar kind of came down and he was normal.
I'll have to look. You might be right. I don't remember. It's been a while since I've seen the What If series.
But, you know, I think that was a great like nod that, you know, there he is. So that now there's a real full connection to, you know, the shows as well.
They said that like What If was part of it. And I was like, nah, it's not really part of it. But now this is like the first time that I've seen an animated character make that transition to live action. So I'm like, they can do anything now.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Maybe we'll see Peggy Carter as Captain in Britain or something.
Maybe. Let's hope.
Ultravision, who knows?
Ooh, Ultravision. Well, there is talk about, I mean, at least the White Vision is around. So maybe we should, you know, maybe we'll see him in the Ultravision.
Want to see Ultravision so badly, man. Oh, so badly.
So there was a little crossover also between Spider-Man and Hawkeye. The Hawkeye season finale dropped last week. Did you get a chance to watch that?
Yes, I did.
What did you think about the overall show? Because I heard a lot of folks felt it was let down in a way.
I thought it was too short, but then again, 6 episodes. I mean, maybe I'm getting kind of greedy. Like they kind of crammed in as much stuff as they could for 6 episodes.
Yeah.
I like the show. I don't think it's the best of the Disney Plus shows, but it's not the worst. I liked it. Like the beginning was a little slow. I wasn't a big fan of Kate Bishop, but like as the series went along, I kind of liked her. I loved Yelena. Like Yelena and Kate Bishop a TV show, by the way.
Yeah, those two are
those two together. My God.
That was actually some of the biggest complaints I read was about those two. And I'm like, that relationship's there. It was perfect.
Yeah, and it was organic. It wasn't forced. Like the scene where they're in Kate's apartment, they're eating mac and cheese, dude, with barbecue sauce. I mean, not barbecue sauce, but hot sauce.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's the shit I do. Like, fuck. And they're just sitting there chilling, like, hey, man, we should get a drink sometime. Just stay out of my way. Okay. And you could tell Like Yelena was digging Kate. She's like, you know what? I got to do this, but you know, you're not a bad chick. Let's hang out sometime.
Well, even when like at the very final episode, you know, they run in, she sees him and she follows her into the elevator. You know, she's like, really, come on. Can we not do this? And they kind of like start wrestling around and like Kate does a flip thing around and her jacket comes off. And Elena's like, whoa, did you mean to do that? No, but that was kind of cool. Wasn't it? I mean, they had that fun moment. Yeah, no, I absolutely love Kate Bishop. I'm becoming more and more of a fan of, Haley, and I know this sounds weird, but when I see her out in public, like, and she's doing like, you know, the walks across, you know, for premieres and stuff like that, she puts makeup on and I do not like her makeup. It's the weirdest thing when I see her. I can't tell. I was like, is that Kate or is that Haley? Cause I can't tell. Cause she's got a very natural, beautiful face without makeup.
She doesn't
and I guess,
need the makeup.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Florence Pugh, part of the Pugh Project, by the way. I'm all on board. I'm team Pugh.
Yeah.
But, she doesn't need makeup, man. They're, like you said, they're naturally pretty. It's just like when you get too glammed up, it just like you look like a clown.
Yeah, it just threw me off a few times when I was like, well, who is she? What else has she been in? I think she was in Little Women, I think, wasn't she? I think it was a Little Women. Oh, no, yeah. I'm thinking of somebody
No,
else.
It was something, Dickens. She's in Dickens. She's doing the rounds for that. She was in Bumblebee.
Oh, Bumblebee, yeah. Bumblebee also was the other one, yeah.
We both love. Hell, she was she's the voice of Gwen Stacy in Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, she is, yeah.
So she's she's busy. She's going to be a busy girl next couple of years.
So, I mean, we finally get to see, we saw it at the end of last episode, but we did see that, you know, Kingpin is in this universe. And so we got that and we get to see more of him, which I love the comic book accurate, like the Hawaiian shirt with the chain,
dude.
Yeah, it was straight out of the comic books. I loved that. I thought that was perfect. His character, it's still him. He still is him, which is great. I mean, he has connected with that character. And there is literally, he is the Kingpin that Hugh Jackman is to Wolverine. It just, you can't see anybody else doing it.
I can't. No. Yeah. I mean, although Michael Clark Duncan did a good job.
Yeah,
that's a different iteration of Kingpin. But as like going forward, this is the Kingpin. Like, oh, okay. Not exactly like the comics, but I think it's better.
He in
the
this,
Kingpin in the comics, he was more like, yay, like snarling on the smart like this. He, this Kingpin is more like.
Well, you're thinking the animated like, stuff. That's when he got a little.
I'm watching the animated series rewatch on Disney Plus, and I'm like, almost. I'm at season 115. Yeah, episode 15. I just finished the Black Suit Saga, which kind of dope. And they had the Kingpin in there. He's like, "Hello, Spider-Man."
Yeah. I never had that voice when I read Kingpin in there. So I don't have the mustache twirling villain voice when I read it.
But he's totally mustache twirling villain in the animated series.
But again, that's the animated series. Everybody is. I mean, you even made comments for years about how Thanos in those are just he is.
But that's unforgivable. He sounds like a buffoon.
Well,
that's
again, we didn't have the comparison. All we had was that So
thank God for Josh Brolin.
Yeah. But what else we had? We got the one. I think one of my favorite scenes was them building the arrows. We had that montage, thing going on. We get to see their suits together, which I was so excited to see. And then we finally get to see the swordsmaster out there. Now he wasn't that he was named a character. He never got the swordsmaster name. And he never was told to be, Clint's, mentor back in the day. But I love the fact he was there. He was a swordsman. And we get to see him doing it, which I thought was so much fun.
I want to go to Duquesne Island. That's all I want to know. I want to go to Duquesne Island. I like Jack, dude. Like, as the series began, I was like, well, this guy is he's a freaking buffoon, but he's a lovable buffoon. I'm like, okay. He doesn't know what's really going on and just hanging in there, just doing the swords. He has that cool mustache. I'm like, I like Jack. I hope they keep him around. They probably won't. You probably see him in a cameo here and there.
Yeah,
he was not a distraction. Some characters are a distraction.
He was not.
He was like every time he's on screen, like I'm interested in him. Like, okay.
I kept wanting to see more and more. But again, I think I wanted to see more because I knew his origin in the comic books. Because that's the one thing they're doing with MCU is that like they are. I mean, most people forget that when they started the MCU, they were really the Ultimates was still somewhat of a big thing in the comics, and this is sort of what they were doing. They weren't doing MCU. They weren't doing Marvel. They were doing Ultimate Marvel, and a twist on Ultimate, not a twist on the original Marvel. So it's like I always go back to. I was like, okay, you got to remember this isn't that that Marvel. This is the Ultimate Marvel, and then you throw even more of a bigger twist on there. We got to see the Tracksuit Mafia guys. I love the fact they get taken out by a Pym Particle Arrow, which I thought was awesome.
hysterical.
And and they get picked up by the owl. Now, if you notice, that owl showed up through almost every episode of this show. He has always been there. And because you remember when Clint actually talks to him.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, follow me again. You know, there was this, because you've seen that owl around already. He's been around. But there was a deleted scene that shows that the owl, you see the owl flying away, but there's a deleted scene where the owl actually takes the bus to their nest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they thought it was a little too dark. And then, of course, we get to see an overpowered Kingpin. Like, we get to see the comic book accurate Kingpin, to me.
Which is fine.
Yeah, he's a little bit more stronger. That's why I don't think this is the same. I know you put a post up about, you know, saying that this was the same Kingpin from Netflix, but I've read other articles that said no, this isn't, because he is more powerful. He is a stronger character than what he was in Netflix.
So maybe he has like that super soldier syndrome inside of
him. Let's hope they don't go that route. Let's say he's just a fucking tough son of a bitch. Like, I mean, we saw him take an arrow to the stomach. We saw him take a freaking bomb. Bombed. Yeah, I mean, we've seen him do more. Yeah, I think if I remember back to Netflix, I think there's a couple of moments that we saw him being stronger than, you know, normal. But I think in this aspect, we saw saw something, you know, a little bit more. And then, of course, the very end, the last thing we see with him and Echo, you know, her putting the gun to his face, ripped straight out of the comic books, which I thought was awesome. And of course, we do the pan away up to the city, and we hear gunfire. So
he's not dead.
Ever read comic books knows, or read any of the books, knows that he gets shot in the face a few times, and this one especially against Echo, and he just gets patches out put on him, and then he heals up. But a typical Hollywood trope is, you know, pan up and make the gunfire go off so you don't know what really happened.
He'll be back. Yeah, I think he'll be back for that Echo series. No doubt.
I think he should be. And I think that's where they should introduce Daredevil.
I think so, too, because Echo and Daredevil have a sort of a relationship in the comic. Yep. Well, so you could do that.
And yeah, one's blind, one's deaf. It works perfectly with them.
Perfect couple.
And then, of course, at the very end, we see that, you know, Clint takes takes Bishop and Lucky, fun dog, finally got a name, takes him back to the farm where his wife is, Laura, and he hands her the watch. Like, I was like, hey, we got 2 minutes left on this show. What's going on?
Can you tell him what the hell the watch means?
And I love the fact that you see her turn it over, see the shield logo, and we see 19 put in there. And if anybody knows, Agent 19 was Mockingbird. And of course, this is where everybody goes, well, wait a second. Wasn't Agent 19 in Shields or Agent of Shields? Yeah. So, I mean, there's that aspect. And so, yes, she was. Could be played by a different character. We've seen it happen before. Because originally was played by,
Adriana Padalecki.
Yeah, Padalecki. Yeah. So, you know, she's
the Orville, I think, too.
What's that? She's the second in command on Orville. Yeah. She's been in a lot of stuff. Great actress. She was originally going to be, they actually had a television, there was a television series. Yeah, I think it was a television series for Wonder Woman. She was supposed to be Wonder Woman, Becca, I think.
There's a pilot.
Yeah, there is out there.
It is out there. I have seen it. It's awful.
I liked it. But again, I'm a fan of hers. I love anything she does. Hands down, I'm on board with her.
I just didn't like, you could tell, I mean, that's a David Chase series, so you could tell it's very Chasey.
For what it was, from the time frame it was, you know, you got to think back, you know, when it was, you know, you recorded, I think we're talking like a decade ago, maybe more.
Almost,
before the superhero revival started happening.
That was before, I think it was before 2007.
I mean, looking at the time, looking at what superhero movies or shows were like at the time, you got to realize we were still in the heyday of Smallville. Mm. So, you know, I think this is, you know, before, you know, pre Arrowverse and all that.
Yeah, where everybody was wearing a hoodie with the color on it. Like, the Flash had a red hoodie.
Leather hoodie. Everybody had a leather hoodie.
Just the leather hoodies.
S&M businesses were big with leather hoodies back then.
Oh,
yeah.
So
we do know. So that does lead into the fact that Laura is, you know, Mockingbird. And, of course, we do know that there's a Mockingbird character coming out. So maybe we'll see a team up, because it looks as though Kate's going to be living with the Bartons for a while, and maybe that's where the training comes in. She learns more. Maybe, again, that's what I kind of suggested a couple of weeks ago, is maybe he is the leader for the new Avengers in a way that he trains them, and he becomes the West Coast Avengers, leader. Maybe. And like we get, you know, Ironheart is coming out soon, where we know Mockingbird's coming out. We know there's an Echo. Elena's still out there. So maybe she tries to reach out to Clint, you know, about, hey, Ms. connection Marvel's with my coming sister. Out too. Yeah. Yeah. So we have all of these young heroes coming out and they're going to need a elderly leader. You know, why not have Clint, or why not? Why not have it be Mockingbird? You know, have Laura come out of retirement and train, you know, the girls, because it's primarily a female led, you know, group. If you really look at all the new characters coming out, they're all young females. Unless, yeah, I mean, if they, I know they're talking about doing Nova, so maybe, you know, if that's part of it. But I think Nova's more in the glow, or the
more cosmic.
Yeah, cosmic. Thank you. I was going to say global, but you know, that's. But I loved it. I was a fan. I was a fan from get go of Hawkeye. I thought it was so much fun. It just captured me. I wanted, like I've told folks before, I'm not a binge watcher. This one I wanted to binge watch from get go. I was like, oh, I need more of this. I love this world they're creating, and I'm a fan of. I've always been a fan of Clint. I guess that's kind of like my dirty secret is in Marvel. Clint was always one I always liked. And of course, Jeremy.
A lot of people say that.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Jeremy too. I think, you know, everything he's done. He's got that new show on TV right now. That was it, Mayor
Big Town or something.
Yeah, I want to check that out because I pretty much anything I see him touch, it's like I think it's so much fun.
I loved him in The Town. That's where I first saw him. The Town with Ben Affleck. I was like, shit, he's good. And then they cast him as Hawkeye. But yeah, going forward, I hope he is that mentor type for the Young Avengers, because if you guys have been living under a rock, they're going to do a Young Avengers.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. There's too many strong hands. You got Kate Bishop, Ms. Marvel, you got Yelena. You got so many people out there now. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah, we still have the supposed or the rumors of the Dark Avengers, you know. So we're going to see that team forming, and then there's going to have a give and take. We're going to have to, you know, you're going to have that yin to their yang. So, yeah, the Young Avengers, I think, is where we're going to see that coming from.
Yeah, it's going to happen eventually, because like I said, you got two series coming out next year, which is only in a week or so. You got Ms. Marvel and you got Ironheart coming out next year as well. So it's out there. I mean, like I said, it's only a matter of time. And I think we've talked about this before with the past OG Avengers, like that are still around, like Banner and Hawkeye. They're going to take more of a back seat.
Yeah.
There'll be those mentor types introducing like the new thing. It's kind of like we talk about wrestling. You know, you always want to bring the new guys up and, you know, put them over. That's what they're doing in the MCU right now. It's very wrestling.
Yeah, because you're gonna have Bruce in She-Hulk. So yeah. you're definitely gonna have that passing of the torch. My only concern is I know everybody's gonna people are gonna say, oh, you're just being a 40-year-old guy or, you know, an older guy. There's a lot of girls out there right now. I mean, it's like I understand that we want to have more females involved and more ethnic, and I've got no issues with that. I want to see that. I want to see the melting pot, but we're also removing certain sexes out of it. You know, yeah. I literally, you look at the new ones coming out. I see no male, black, white, Indian, whatever. I see no males. I see nothing but female superheroes right now. Got no problems with it. I'm a big fantasy reader. Most folks don't realize when you go to like fantasy like books and stuff, a lot of female protagonists in there.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, there's a lot in there. So it's like I'm looking at this and like, okay, I understand we're kind of wanting to have more female in there, but we need to pepper some guys in there too, you know. They're out there. Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of rooting, you know, a little bit, you know, to get Miles in there, because we have a lot of female, you know, characters coming through. So have a Miles out there.
Have a Miles, bring in a Nova. You know, you could do that. We talked about before.
Speaking of something woke that I expected to be woke and it was not woke, was the new Matrix Resurrection. I was really expecting like something like I said, woke. I was like, I went in, I was like, I'm ready for this. Let's go. We've got Lana Wachowski. She's in there. She's gone through, you know, sex change, you know, gender, you know, identification changes. Her sister or brother, two sister now, you know, went through the same thing. And I'm thinking like, this is going to be open. I can't wait to hear every single one of my friends and my internet, you know, friends that I know are so like anti that. I was like, oh God, I can't wait. This is just, I'm frothing at the mouth for this to drop. And I hate to say it, guys. It was it was lazy writing. I was upset. I understand they're trying to make a point and they're trying to be meta about it. And I know anybody's ever read anything about the review of meta has come up billions of times, but literally that's the only way to describe what they did. They were trying to improve a point that this rebooting and rehashing of old property, you know, is kind of a money grab. And you could have made that in one scene, made that joke. And they did. I think it was when they were sitting in the office, I'm trying to remember the character's name, the Smith of this
version. Oh, the fake Agent Smith.
The fake Agent Smith. When Anderson are in the room and he's like, "Well, WB wants us to do this," I was like, "Okay, great, we got the joke." You could have stopped it right there.
That's ended. Like, okay, cool, and then flash to another scene. But it was like the running joke that just kept going. It wouldn't go away. Like they had like these freaking almost like encounter therapy meetings about it. Like, oh, what are we going to do? Like, we should do a rabbit, a dog. Like, no, man, you took basically the first three movies and you made them look better.
Yeah.
Because that's what you did. Like, I'm going to do a Matrix thing for Midnight Movies this week because I'm a little behind, but I'm going to do that in a review. And it makes me, now I want to go watch those again because this movie to me sticks. I'm sorry. It just, like, I love Trinity. I love Neo, seeing them back. That was great. Why did you make Agent Smith the way you did? Like, I get it. Fine. Morpheus was like a digital person. Again, he wasn't really Morpheus to me. He was almost like a clown, almost like making fun of his old self, which is like, what are we doing here? It was too, I get it, meta, but it was too meta. And then you got, I don't know. It just, like you said, lazy writing. I was like, what are we doing? Why?
Somebody asked me a couple of days ago. They're like, so did you watch it yet? And I was like, yeah, I watched it. And they're like, what'd you think? And I was like, they put all three of the original movies, crammed them into one movie, and tried to retell the story in a way where it ended to where it wasn't just Neo who was the one, which kind of kills the whole thing of the one. It's supposed to be one person.
Now it's two. Now it's two.
Not the two. But again, I understand. Then they could have changed it from the one and said, okay, you know, it's something more. They really didn't – like that part of the movie, they didn't explore. They tried this whole playing like the roles and the scenes over again to the point where they were literally playing the scenes from the first Matrix
literally
on the wall behind them as they're reenacting. And I was like, what? And that kind of threw me off. And then when they finally came time for Trinity to have her moment, it was like, it was just so quick. I was like, why didn't we build up to this? This is that, yeah, he pretty much, it was just, he wants to get her out, but it wasn't that, well, we need to get her out because she holds a key. There was one mention of it and that was it. And it was like, it was just very quick. Now the cast, I think I loved Jessica Henwick. I thought she did great. She was, actually you for your show, Game of Thrones. Yeah. She was Nymeria Sand in Game of Thrones. Wow. Yeah. That was her.
Wow, I didn't recognize her.
Yeah, she was also in Colleen Wing in Iron Fist, Defenders, Luke Cage. So she has had her time in the Geekverse. Actually, she was also Star Wars The Force Awakens. She was one of the X-Wing pilots.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah. So
I would love to see more with her.
Yeah, like, I loved her. I loved her.
The character was cool. Like, dude, just focus on her. She could have been the one too. Like,
that's why I expected more of a delving into the crew. It was fun to go back to. It wasn't Zion. It was Ion. But really, Zion Ion.
Okay. Yeah, really, dude. You're just gonna take the Z out and just call it Ion. Come on.
It's right.
It's lazy writing. Let's just take the Z out and they won't notice.
It's right up there with I'll take an unobtainium from a friend of ours. Like, we're not good. It's a different city. It's Ion. Okay. Wow. But you know, I think the rest of the crew was so much. It was fun to see the rest of this crew. I didn't have a problem with Smith. I get it. The whole concept that, hey, this is a because they put that, they mentioned that at the first, the second, and the third one, that, hey, the Matrix does reset itself. And we knew that Neo was getting plugged back in at the end of the Matrix series. We knew he was getting plugged back in, and they were going to reboot the Matrix to make it different and give folks an ability to leave if they wanted to. That's where we left it at. And, of course, you know, this is, what, 60 years later.
Apparently, yeah.
You know, and, of course, they did throw in a kind of a bit of a twist. You know, they did throw some things from the Matrix Online game because they used to have events, and they would have, you know, events where Neo would show up or Morpheus would show up. So they did sort of have this kind of like this back and forth thing. So I get, you know, Morpheus is going to look different. You know, he died. So what's left is his digital imagery. Get that. Mm-hmm. You know, Smith is going to look different because they apparently purged all the old systems. They made that comment when they were talking to SETI. You know, we get to see the SETI from she was in both of them. Mm-hmm. We get to see, like, there's little nods. Like, I love those little moments where those were the moments I loved. I was like, oh, build on this. But then they went right back to kind of what they knew.
Like the whole thing with the they actually had the war with the machines. And then you find out that some of the machines didn't agree with the machines and they sided with the humans. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Can I find out about that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, I like the fact that, like, they were working with some of the machines now. I was like, okay, this is a nice little thing. Let's find out about this. But again, let's go back to what we know. Yeah. Like, it's like the movie had a lot of good things there. They could have, if they built upon them, you could really have stretched out to maybe TV series, another movie. I don't think they'll make another movie. They'll probably go series wise.
If it
comes back at all. But man, these little things you could have built upon.
You didn't do it. My question is, why didn't Lily Wachowski go jump into this? Only Lana did.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if she felt that maybe this wasn't. Because I know they still work together. They still do release a whole bunch of stuff. But this one, she went off kind of on her own.
Maybe she didn't want to do it. Maybe she felt that the story was told.
Well, I do know it went through some, like, rewrites and stuff like that. Like, I think Zach Penn got a hold of it. He did a rewrite. And then I think Lana was returning to direct it. So I think it was kind of this mix. There were just certain things about it I just was not. It just didn't feel like it was moving forward. And I get there's a whole bunch of people out there going, oh, it's so meta. And this, like, it got it. We got it. There could have been a few moments, but you don't need to make the whole movie this statement. You made the comment. Well, if you're going to make that movie the statement, make a freaking, you know, spoof movie about it then.
Make a spoof movie. Yeah. That's what how you make. Do that.
No, don't make Matrix a spoof movie. But if you want to make a movie about meta things, about how, you know, how Hollywood is rehashing and throwing up, you know, the same crap up on the screen, expecting us to take it, make a comedy about it, because it will come across better and easier to digest for most people. You know, see if Mel Brooks is out there, or find a Mel Brooks writer and do that. I think that kind of humor would go over better than anything else, you know, in that sort of form. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I even think there was a waste with Lambert Wilson, the Merovingian, him showing up as this mad homeless guy. I'm like,
what happened? Like, you had something there, and then also he's this crazy whacked out guy. Like, I know what you did. I'm like, okay, what happened? How did he turn crazy? Let's find out. No, he's just there and gone.
Like, yeah, that's like when I saw that he was in the cast and he was replaying the Merovingian, I was like, oh yeah, I loved him. He was my favorite character. Just this snob, and like he was just getting, you know, called out by his girl, and it was perfect. And I was like,
he was very snobby, and in this one he's a complete buffoon.
Yeah,
I'm like, what happened? Like, did the Matrix make him turn crazy? Was it a bad program? Did he get, like, rewired? Like, what happened?
Yeah, and then we hear about the other programs that are in there, and, you know, of course, yeah, we had those before, but they named them werewolves and vampires. You know, they kind of, but this time it was just, I don't know. Again, if you look and watch the movie throughout if you watch the trilogy, there are certain beats that happen. This movie had the same beats when the Merovingian showed up with his little army of weird guys, and they battled each other, and then it stopped. I mean, they were literally beat for beat for beat for beat the original trilogy. That's the only reason I didn't like it. It didn't move anything forward.
I just hope they don't do it anymore. I heard like they wanted to, like, basically they did this because they want to, like, spawn it off into series. If they want to do that, focus on other characters. Just focus on other characters.
Do what, like, they did with the Animatrix. Do what they did in the video game world. Like, if they're going to reference video games, which I thought was a kind of cool concept, because after the movies were done, the video games came out. So God, I thought that was so cool. But they could have delved more into that and pulled some of that world out. And
But they just kept going with that running joke. That's what bothered me. It was like everything, oh, you're back in the Matrix. Oh, look at the Matrix. Like, everything was like that every sixth sentence. And like, okay, I get it. Can we do the movie now? Like, are we going to keep doing this? Like, it just felt so stupid. And again, I'm frustrated because I wanted to like it, but you had
so many
good things in there. It's like there's a good movie in there exploding to Get Out, and it didn't happen because you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to show them this, but let me go back to what I know.
Yeah, that's kind of how I, yeah, that's how, like, I, this is the movie, like, this is the one big movie I was like on board. I was like, I cannot wait.
Dedicated a whole month of Midnight Movies to it. That's how excited we were.
I mean, I can't say I was completely excited on board with it, because I was like, why, they don't need a third movie. They did enough, but I was excited to see it and see what they were going to do, and thinking of in today's age and the way the world is and how open more open the world is, and not everybody is, but, you know, for the most part, there's same sex marriages, and I mean, everything is different from when this movie came out. The world has opened their eyes a little bit more and been more acceptable. And I was waiting for, this is a platform for two people in, or one person in particular, you know, that has had that sex change and has gone and changed their gender. And to me, I think that person stands out as like a representation of that group. And I expected that story that story to be in there somewhere, you know, that point of, you know, hey, this is who I was, this is what I am now. Mm. Never got any of that. Like, this was the perfect opportunity to take a big project and make a statement in that project, and not one statement.
You could have done this entire film, not bring Keanu back. You could have had that Colleen Wing character been through the whole thing, like, oh, we got to find the one, and you find out that she's like the reincarnation of Neo.
Yeah,
because like you said, you had the Wachowskis, and mm-hmm. they could have had a voice in that. That's how you do it. Like, oh, Neo can be anybody.
Well, it should have been. The thought was, is every reiteration of the Matrix is they put in the one. Mm-hmm. They put that program in, and, well, why did it? I love Keanu.
I love him too.
All about the Keanu-sance, but I would have preferred to see somebody else be
somebody
the one.
New.
Yeah.
It could have been her, and like she had like we don't know a ton of stuff about her, but her character, just like, you know, on the basis, was cool. Like, I like this character. I want to know more about her. Like I said, she could have been the one.
Her whole crew. What was the other girl's name?
Remember, one of the tech guy, Mouse. He was cool. I liked Mouse. I mean, you had like these cool replacements for like the Joe Padalini character. You had him, you had others. The supporting crew was good. It's just, you didn't give him shit to do.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, you brought them out, and like you had the one scene where they go back to Ion, and they run back into, you know, Jada Pinkett Smith, who's apparently 80 years old with that makeup on. And I liked her.
I thought she did a good thing too,
but to me, she was like, she was too bitchy. Like, you know, wait a minute, is this the same person that I saw in the Matrix, and she was taking all them risks? No, you're not taking those risks.
How many 80-year-olds do you know?
Not many.
Okay, yeah. Trust me, they're little.
Crazy. Actually, wait, I do.
Anyway. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know, a couple of close to that, and you know they're a little cranky sometimes. that's our take. Like I said, it was fun, but just it lacked. I could have done so much more and have been so much better. And,
now, guys, don't get discouraged by what we say. Watch it for yourself and see what you think. But to me, I just think.
Yeah, we're just two assholes with a microphone. So,
yeah, it's pretty much an asshole, a microphone, some systems here, and a nice board and all that stuff. But if you know, if you want to say, oh, well, F these guys, cool, F us, and go watch it. Go watch it.
No, I'm back to that.
Oh, you're back to that? Okay. Yeah. You're back.
I downgraded a little bit.
I was like, downgraded? Well, I got the same board.
Man. I know. Hey, did you get a chance to watch The Witcher?
Yes.
Did you watch the full season?
Yes.
Okay, what'd you think?
Far superior to season one.
Yes, it was. Yes, it
far
was.
Far superior to season one. I don't know what people are talking about in the internet. Like I said, I don't let stuff like that bother me, but right. I thought it was fantastic. I thought each episode built, and then when you got to that finale point, now I want to see season three.
Yeah, it was great. What the people are bitching about, and this again, I'm going to pull my book knowledge out. It's not the book. Like, it's a little bit of the book. The scenes with Triss and with Ciri and with Geralt at the castle, getting to training was there. The part with Yennefer and Ciri leaving and Yennefer losing her power, that didn't happen that way. The union between the elves and the humans, and then the death of her child, and then her killing off every human baby in the. That did not happen. That did not happen.
Dude, that was metal, though.
Metal. That's why I was like, oh, geez. That was not in the book, but damn.
She was like, I lost my baby. You're going to lose all your baby. Like,
yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And I was like, dude, I was sitting. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm watching. It's like, yes. because I like to root for evil things.
That is where I think a lot of the complaint is. This is, again, it comes back to every, I don't know why they do it. I did it for one episode of Wheel of Time, but I don't know why book fans go in expecting to see punch for punch, word for word, their story. This is called an adaptation. So it's going to be adapted from the original into this. We got something different. We got something better, I think. You know, I've read the book. Actually, I reread the book just like, I think the week before this came out. Mm-hmm. So I was like, it was fresh in my head. Because these books, if you ever want to pick up the Witcher books, they're like 300 pages. They're very, very short books.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, they're quick reads. That's, you know, I'm actually on book, since I started rereading, I was like, oh, let me just continue to go. I think I'm on book four right now. And I'm like, I started this morning and I'm like halfway done. You know, it's really quick books. But I think that was the big thing was like the relationship. And also the relationship between Geralt and Ciri was a little different. You know, in the book, he was more reluctant father. You know, in the show, he had a different relationship. The relationship between Yennefer and Ciri was different. The relationship between Geralt and Yennefer were different. Like, in the books, he's like gaga and, you know, over the roof in love with her. You know, we're not seeing that. He's being the hard, strong man.
Yeah, very strong.
This one also was interesting because it wasn't just this book. It told stories from the earlier books, because this season was the first book of the Witcher series. There are when they first came out,
seven or nine, I think.
There's eight total, but this is number one in the original series. There are two prequels books. The first season was the prequels. Most people don't realize. Most people think this first season was book one. No, but the first season was the prequels, but they were still some stories left over. In this season, you saw the Beauty and Beast.
Yeah,
that's what he does in The Witcher. If nobody's ever read him, The Witcher takes old fairy tales and intermingles into this overall arcing story of Witcher and his world.
I love they do that. Like the same thing they did in season one is you had like these three different characters. Each different type of stories, you know, Geralt, you had Cersei, you had Yennefer, they had their own little story arcs, but towards the end, they all converged into one, and they did it again this season as well, which I love.
I think what made it easier to digest this is it wasn't three different time frames merging into one. This is one it was solid. That made it easier, I think, to digest mentally for most folks.
Like, I wanted to find out more about the elves. I wanted to find out more about Geralt's friend, who was like the werewolf guy who had the curse put on him in the beginning. And you find out he's harbouring some kind of harpy creature to keep him.
That was Beauty and the Beast. If you really go back to look at the core of the story, he was cursed until he found true love. But when he found his true love and finally realized who his true love was, it was killed. So it was a fairy tale put on its head, like the original fairy tales were. If you look up the original fairy tales, they're fucked up. they're not that good. What I thought was very strange for me, though, is like when you were watching this, the age changed so quickly. When you look at Ciri, Freya Allen, who's the actress that plays her, she was 4 years younger. Now she's a woman. She's in her 20s now. When she played Ciri in the first series, I think she was like 16, which was pretty close to what Ciri's real age is.
Nah, she's like in her early 20s.
Now she's basically a woman now. And it kind of like, you know, it threw me off to see there was more of a relationship going on. I think that's where that more of that tension came from, Yennefer and her.
Which Yennefer's arc was good too. Her losing the magic, then like thinking she was going to betray Cersei to this god of death. Then she has like, you know, the come to Jesus moment. She's like, no, I wasn't going to really do that, because she changed her mind midway through. And even though Geralt, he's still pissed at her. He's like, dude, I know what you're going to do. He figures it out pretty fast. And like, but she's still with him. She's like, no, I didn't do it though. She's like, but you still were going to do it.
Yeah.
Geralt calls her on her bullshit. I'm like, okay, I dig it. And I want to see what's going to happen next. Because apparently towards the end, you see they go to this other world to get rid of the god of death. And you see like these horsemen.
That's the Wild Hunt. Now, the Wild Hunt is actually in the next book, the one I'm currently reading right now. It's in the book that this last season was on was Blood of Elves. the Wild Hunt shows up in the next book, which is called The Time of Contempt. And it explains more that Ciri is, they want her part of this Wild Hunt. Like, you get a hint of that. That's another reason a lot of folks were like, why is that happening? Why is she there? Why is that part of... No, that's because that's what they're working on. They're trying to hint to the next season. But you find out that she has the ability to jump from different worlds in a way. So that's the, kind of the introduction to that. So yeah, I can't wait to see that either.
And then you see the spoiler that her father's still alive. Mm-hmm. I was like, he tricked them all out. Like, the mom died. Like, wait a minute, didn't he die? But then again, I have to remember, like, did we see him die?
No, because I don't think he was around at the time, if I remember correctly. That's why I'm trying to go back to the first season. I don't remember him being there.
Neither do I. Maybe he left and came back because during the attack on the castle, I presume that he died with his wife. But I guess he didn't. So he's going to be back, and he's trying to get his daughter back. You know, it's going to be freaking nuts, especially with this Wild Hunt thing. I want to find out more about that and those weird pillars that were, I guess, they had created these creatures from, or she did, and she had.
Yeah, again, that's something that's like, that's more in the another book. That's, there was a lot of crossovers. That, again, another reason why the book purists are a little upset, because they're jumping ahead. You know, it's like, well, you have an 8-book series that they're trying to put into this, and you got to kind of intermingle and adapt them to fit here. And we're getting the same issue when we look at, you know, the Wheel of Time. Again, the Wheel of Time fans are just like, what the hell? Why are you doing this, doing that, intermingling this? You know, I've said it before. The first episode, yeah, I was like, what the hell's going on? What are you doing? But now I've accepted it, and I'm enjoying the ride now. I really enjoy the books, or the story that they're telling in the movie or on the show. I think they're nailing it. And they finally kind of addressed it in the last episode. I know you haven't watched it yet, but they technically, the Wheel of Time is a post-apocalyptic story.
Oh, okay.
Most people, because when you look at it, it looks like fantasy, right? Well, it is fantasy, but it's fantasy set in a post-apocalyptic time. If you watch the show, you'll see, like, in the background as they're walking around, you'll see, like, these big, massive tower things in the background. If you look at those are buildings.
I gotta look at that
again. Yeah,
did not catch that.
Well, there's references throughout the whole Wheel of Time, you know, about how the wheel, you know, will continue to go turn and turn and turn. And, well, that's the whole point, that these things will constantly come back around. Life will just keep, it's a firm belief in reincarnation, basically. But yeah, in the last episode of the season, you see the past, which is kind of like the future.
Ooh.
So yeah, it's really interesting. That's, I was like, are they going to truly address it and point it out or not?
Got to find out.
Yeah. And when you watch it, you'll see, like, a very, like, I think it starts off that episode, like, hey, you know, hey, this is the time you get to meet the dragon before him being reborn. You know, you get to see that. So it's kind of cool. And you get to see the dark one before he became the true dark one. And it, you know, just, it's really good. And they really addressed it instead of being hinted at. Cause they never really, like, I'm on book 5 or 6 right now, I think. And they've never really said it, but there's just been hints. Like, when you walk into one of the temples, there's a yin and yang symbol on the ground. There are stories of people, you know, traveling up into the sky, and they literally are talking about NASA. Yeah, so there's... Oh,
yeah. You're selling me. I gotta get back on it now.
Yeah. But the last episode, I thought it was great. Where it ended was a little strange, because I was like, that doesn't happen until, like, a little bit later. But again, they're trying to merge a lot of this stuff into one big thing. So it's...
Well, that's kind of like the common theme in everything we've talked about. If you think about it, like the Hawkeye series, you know, we're talking about Wheel of Time, The Witcher... They got to take all these large sums of information that they have, and they have to somehow, you know, mash them into 10 or 8 episodes and how many seasons. And like I said, none of the book fans are going to be happy. It's like sometimes when I look at something the CW does, because, you know, I love DC. When they did their version of Crisis on Infinite Earths, it wasn't the Crisis on Infinite Earths that I read. But like you said, it's an adaptation. So I had to just take it the way it was. I'm like, oh, well, this guy's not here, and he's not supposed to show up till later. So that's where I get my critiques on that. Like, nah, not quite, but I get it. It's their version.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, I think that's everything that I have. You got anything else?
I think, yeah, that's it. We got Spider-Man. No, that's it.
All right, perfect. Well, guys, make sure you do check us out every week. We are here for Here's Asylum, and we'll be out every Monday. Also, we have Midnight Movies. It's running a little behind right now, but you will see that every Wednesday. That comes out on Wednesday. And then I think, are you completely done releasing all of Baptism of Thrones? Or you guys?
Yes, okay. All out. All out, man.
So make sure you guys do check that out. We'll make sure to try to get a link on our Facebook page so you guys can check that out at the Here's Asylum Facebook page.
And a little future thing for Baptism of Thrones, it will be coming back in February. We're going to be doing House of Dragons. So nice. and instead of doing like we did with Game of Thrones, where it's like an episode per season, we're going to do an episode per episode.
Okay. So you're going to watch it. We're just going to do a breakdown of every episode. Awesome.
Every episode, every Sunday, I'm going to do it, hopefully with Melissa.
And the Faceless Man will not be showing up for this one, guys. Sorry.
No, the Faceless Man will not be.
If there were any Faceless Man fans out there, I am sorry. What is wrong with you? All right, guys, make sure you do check us out, like I said, on Facebook. And we will be back next week for our end of the year. And we're going to have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about.
Yes, big stuff. Check out the Facebook page. Check out Midnight Movies. And from Mike to me to you, get to the Asylum. We'll see you soon, kids.